Father, right now, we just take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that rhema word. Father, we speak. Come on and help me. Just say amen. We speak in Jesus' name. Lord, we call Immokalee revival. Thousands and thousands. Tens of thousands. Born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord.
Let's continue to worship God. Victor, Victor, can you come here for a second? Hallelujah. You know, we prayed for Victor's son just a few weeks ago, right? And there was a possibility that they were going to have to open up his skull.
Tuesday we did the CAT scan. So Wednesday we had to do an appointment and go all the way to Fort Lauderdale to see the doctor. So we got there. The whole way over there, me and my wife were just worried that he was going to need surgery. So we waited in the waiting room. The doctor calls us back, and he comes and says, your baby don't need surgery.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Father. Hallelujah.
And
thank you, God.
He's getting baptized today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Even when we get around here, if it does go to the next level, well, even the surgeons are anointed.
Amen.
Amber's here today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. She's doing good. She just had surgery, major surgery. Last Sunday morning, I got to give you this. Last Sunday morning, early, we got Candy and I got called, and Ralph said, his wife, Sharon, you know, she worships on the team here. And she had had a seizure, never had had a seizure. It lasted 45 minutes. That's a long one. You can die at that. So they rushed her in and they did a CAT scan and found that they, when he first told me, then he called back after lunch, I thought, no, they're wrong. You're probably just over, you know, extending. So they thought they had found a tumor on the brain. They went in that afternoon, did a MRI, and found out they said it was as, one report says it was big as a grapefruit. Monday, after we left her, Amber, we drove down to Naples, and we got there just before. I mean, they did it quick, the surgery. They went in. This is major. We were praying. A lot of you were praying. Lifted the top part of her skull off and found something in there the size of a man's hand. But it was benign and it wasn't in the brain. They just lifted it right off.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Put her back together, and the next morning she was eating and drinking and talking and walking. And
hallelujah.
And did you know, they wanted to put her in rehab for 2 weeks just to kind of, and then they looked at her yesterday and said, we can't justifiably put you in rehab because there's nothing wrong with you. So they sent her home. They sent her home.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Did you stretch your faith this way? Callie, we're going to pray. Let's pray for her. Why don't you just stay right there?
Yes, Lord.
I'm going to pray over this prayer cloth.
Yes, hallelujah.
I come in this morning, I knew that she was heavy of heart. She wanted to share something. Todd Ray, I don't know how many of you know him, her son. Is that the baby? It's a baby, except for this baby. He's been diagnosed with cancer in the spine. A number of tumors there. They're going to go to work on him. They believe they can clear it up. But, man, Dr. Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Yes, the great physician.
Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. You're the
right
healer.
Now,
the miracle worker.
I release your glory. In the name of Jesus, I curse these cancerous tumors in the name of Jesus. I command them in the name of Jesus. Satan, now in Jesus' name, that which brought it and that which was there, we break it in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that all the authority that you're desiring from his heart and the faith that you're desiring from his heart will come up, Lord. And he, Lord, will begin to look to you in a place in his life like he never has. And in Jesus' name, I release your life and glory, and I call him whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's just worship a little more. Because there's a lot to worship God about. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you ahead of time.
A la cruz. Jesus, we worship you. We worship you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You know, if we get what we're after, and we're going to.
Amen.
To those, and I mean this lovingly, I couldn't mean it more. To those who say, what about that bunch out there? Are they really on the right track? Are they really going to receive? The answer will be like Jesus. You go and tell them.
Amen.
The blind see.
Hallelujah.
And the lame walk. And the deaf hear.
Hallelujah.
And the gospel is preached to the kingdom. To those who are poor of spirit. Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Hallelujah.
You,
wisdom is justified of her children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's worship a little more. Hallelujah. He's so worthy. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Magnify you, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb.
You're wonderful. You are wonderful.
You have an infirmity in your body. You don't have to come. Just as you just stand there, just worship him. You're believing for somebody or you're believing for yourself. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we just release the power of God. Go ahead and receive it wherever you're at. Go ahead and receive it where you're standing, where you're sitting. In the name of the Lord, right now, we release the power of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be made whole. In Jesus' name, we command sickness off of your body. In the name of Jesus. Fear and depression right now in the name of Jesus. What it's linked up to, Father, I pray that you'll reveal the truth in their life. I pray in Jesus' name the mind of Christ will begin to appear for them. And I release your life and your grace in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to have not a long service in here because a lot of it's going to be across the field. But why don't you stand up and give somebody a great big hug this morning? If you'll listen for just a moment, and I'll say this a few times because I know you're being seated. Some of the children are going to be, the older ones are going to be baptized. And if you will, as parents, if you'll just let them be seated in here with you. And the nursery will be open for the small ones. But if you'll go and get your little ones, if they're over there. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. This is going to be a wonderful day. And we invite everybody to stay around. Follow us across the field. Men, men's bathroom. Ladies' bathroom and trailer, I guess, maybe, if you need to change. I'm sure everybody's going to need to, that's going to get baptized, and the children. I hope you all brought towels. If not, we'll find you a towel. We'll give more instruction as time goes on. I'm just kind of giving time for these parents to get their little ones back in here. I want to teach on this for just a little while. It's not something difficult. It's not something hard. It's something that we should enjoy. It's a celebration. And it's something that everybody should do at some point if you've asked Christ into your life and followed him in truth. We're going to, in a little bit, you know, after instruction and after more understanding, walk right across the field to my neighbor's house. Amen. So I guess most of them are in here. Would you stretch your faith this way and just kind of help me? Father, I love you. I praise you for this wonderful celebration. And that's exactly what it is. It's a celebration in Jesus, who has born us again, given us a new birth. I bless this time together. I bless all those that will hear. I pray this will be a wonderful time, a simple time of simplicity in the celebration of what you have made us in Christ Jesus. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read these scriptures. If you want to write them down or if you want to turn there, there's a number of them, but it's important for you to understand. Jesus said, you must be born again. Now, we know that's where it all begins, right there. You must be born again. Nicodemus, he was talking to a Jewish man, and he explained, you've got to have a rebirth. And the rebirth is not physical, it's spiritual. That in itself gets you to heaven. Don't ever let anybody ever tell you that there's something else that you've got to do to get there. There's not. Over, it's over at that point. There's not a secondary place in heaven for those that haven't been baptized. Like, okay, you get to go, but you're on a servant's quarter. No. You've been born again, meaning if Christ has come in and you've asked Him to come into your life, you are one whole person. There's nothing, I may not say this exactly right, and I may listen to the tape later and say, I wish I had said it a little bit different, but there's nothing you can do with your body that will make you any more complete in Him. Do you understand? Now you say, oh, well, I can worship Him. That's right. He'll come and fill you up. But the components, what you've been made, your inheritance, you're that from the get-go. You're just as righteous as you'll ever be from the get-go. Your born-again nature is just as complete. Nothing that you'll ever do after that adds to that internal man. It doesn't. Now, expressions of joy, just like when you go before Him and you worship Him, you can be built up. Your faith can be built up. Your expressions of joy can be built up. But as far as who you are innately, in other words, your spiritual structure is not added to, like, okay, you didn't get this at the new birth. You have to. When you read many of the baptismal scriptures, if you're not reading in context, you'll misunderstand. And people misunderstand a whole lot. And they try to add to. But if you can understand this from the get-go, the moment you ask Jesus into your heart, everything that happened in that spiritual person on the inside, it was complete. You have the authority at that point, or you have the invitation then to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, which is something that really in the New Testament was supposed to be happening simultaneously with the new birth. It wasn't like, okay, I get baptized, wait 3 weeks later or 2 years later, and then I can get filled with the Holy Ghost. Right then, the moment that you get saved, let me tell you what you do get at salvation. You get a spirit that is absolutely created in the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, some of my good Baptist brothers will throw rocks at me by saying that when you got the Spirit of Christ, you didn't get the Holy Spirit. You got His Spirit. But that's exactly what it's talking about. The Spirit of Christ is that new nature. That's what you got. It is innately, in other words, it's all programmed in there, all the righteousness that you'll ever be, all of everything that He is in access to the Father. Now, the Holy Spirit, when He baptizes that, comes as a helper to bring that forward. Because you really don't know who you are from the get-go. You need the Word and you need the Holy Ghost teaching you line on line and illuminating you to bring that spirit forward and empower it to be all that it can be. You know, they say, be, you know, we got commercials, be all that you can be. The Holy Spirit will help you be all that you can be. He comes with power. He's another baptism besides for water. But let's talk about water here. Jesus himself spoke these words. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, you can misconstrue that, but believe me, and there's other scriptures, when you believe, you are saved. The baptism is an expression of what you just did, and we'll prove that as we go. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. We do that. They shall take up serpents. We do that. But not like some churches do that. We don't have a box with serpents. Listen, in the one percentile of one percentile of one percentile, do you think Jesus was talking about? Now, yeah, if a viper bites you, you do have a promise here, but that's the fruit. Let me tell you what the root is. He was talking about spiritual warfare. He's talking about every day you're going to take up situations. Demonic warfare is going to come at your home, at your life. You're going to take these things up, but guess what? You're going to manipulate them, not them, you. Hallelujah. Let's make it relevant. Oh, Jesus, wow. Nobody in the world's ever, unless you're living in some kind of foreign place, you know, getting bit by serpents, but thank you for this. No. He knew that 2012 was going to be here and that we would take up serpents and they would not harm us. Hallelujah. And there's too much to teach here. Boy, watch out, buddy. I'm speaking to myself. Keep going, Bron. Keep going. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Matthew 3:13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Why should we be baptized? Because Jesus was baptized. We should follow him. John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And anybody that misconstrued that and say, well, you haven't been fulfilled in all righteousness, if you haven't been, Jesus said, let us fulfill all righteousness, you and I. And what happened was, when Jesus was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Let me tell you what happened there. When Jesus said, John baptized me, John said, I can't. I know who you are. He said, let us fulfill all righteousness. When Jesus did what he did, the next thing that happened, a booming voice out of heaven, God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. When Jesus went under the water and came up, the residual to that was God's response, you fulfilled all righteousness. Jesus was stepping up. He knew what his mission was. He knew that he was to go forth, be crucified, die, go into the grave, resurrect again for all mankind. He's at the beginning of his journey. He's about to go 40 days into the wilderness, face the devil, come out, spend 3 years of ministry, then be crucified. His fulfillment physically has not yet taken place, whether or not he will go ahead with it. But in his heart, in his spirit, when he made the commitment to step forward and say, John, baptize me, I am willing before my Father to go into the grave for all mankind and to be resurrected. That is the fulfillment of all righteousness. God saw in the heart of Jesus, a gavel came down in heaven. Boom, I see my Son. He will do what I'm asking him to do. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hallelujah. And that's why we're to follow Him, because as He was obedient, our life, first being born again, testifies before the whole world, I will follow Him for the rest of my days. Hallelujah. Romans 6, 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, this is the depth. Listen to this. This is the depth of why you're baptized. Know you not that so many of you or us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? It's not talking about water baptism there. Your baptism into Jesus was the day or night you got born again. You got baptized into Him. You went down into Him, and when you went down into Him, Romans 6 tells us that just like He died, see, it's a horrible travesty for anybody to go to hell, because really, if anybody winds up in hell, you've already been there once. Your incarceration there was held there by Jesus. When He resurrected, you resurrected. He gave His life, you gave, and did you know what? There is, because we live in a God, we look at this so stereotypically like, oh, that is a position. It is a position, but let me tell you, because we serve a timeless God, He is timeless. And we can't even go into that because our mind can't reconcile timelessness. He's just as much over here in a million years as He is over here in a million years gone by. He's back there, just like He is right here, and just like He's in the future. Do you know in the heart of God and in reality, to what His reality is, the moment you accept Jesus, you yourself, because you're timeless, you're back there with Him at that moment. You are back there and you go into the grave with Him, and you're also resurrected into new life at that moment in time. Glory be to God. Know you not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness be in the likeness of His resurrection. Hallelujah. This is a longer one. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin is destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. When He said your old man was crucified, that doesn't mean that your daddy was up there with Him. My old man was crucified. No. He's saying the old you was crucified with Christ. Amen. You know, there's a doctrine that says He saved me so I don't have to feel condemned about the sin that I'm living in. He saved you so you don't have to sin. The reason why you do have to ask forgiveness is because you didn't have to sin. You do need to repent when you sin. Why? Because you didn't have to. That old man is crucified. He's dead. He doesn't live any longer. He was crucified with Christ. He said, knowing that Christ, being dead from or raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over Him. For in that He died once unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, in the same way, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I like that because baptism says this: I'm going to serve Him. I have received Him and I'm going to serve Him. Yes, there may be days I have to say, Jesus, forgive me. I blew it. I cussed the cat. I looked the wrong way. I did this, I did that. But listen, you don't deliberately go back into sin. See, this is where the church has lost it. Jesus said to her, "Precious, you're forgiven. I forgive you for having intercourse out of marriage. But daughter, go and sin no more." See, the church believes today you can accept Him and just keep doing the same things that you used to do. Baptism means I come up and I'm going to walk different. If we weren't married, I go and say, "Honey, the church will rent me and you an apartment. We will, separately, until pastor can get us married. But I went down with him, and I come up a new creature. And I'm not going to touch you anymore." Glory to God. Because I've been changed. Hallelujah. That's just the way, that's the power of the gospel. That's the truth. And then we should help people fulfill the power of the gospel. Hallelujah. Wow. Good rabbit trails. He said, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, that your members also as instruments," and it's talking about your body here, your members, not you as members, it's talking about your physical members. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace." Acts 1:5 says this. Jesus spoke and he said, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Acts 2:38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive." Then he says, "The gift of the Holy Ghost." He's talking about two different things there. That big crowd, he says, "You need to be baptized." It was customary for the first church. It was an expression of joy. It was saying, "I've received Him into my heart, and this completes." It didn't make it any more righteous. It completes the circuit. It's just like this. Listen, let me read to you. I might get off track here for a moment. That's okay. Romans 10. This is a Romans 12 road here. Somebody said, "Did you confess Him with your... Are you born again?" "Yes." "Did you hear Him pray it?" "No, but I believe they prayed it under that... I just know I could see them expressing in that coma state. They were laying there." Well, they're not saved if they didn't say it with their mouth. That's not what the Word of God says. Just like baptism doesn't make you saved, it's an expression of your salvation. Listen to what Romans 10:9 says. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." It says here, confess with your mouth. That's right, it does. And it says to believe in your heart that God has raised. But listen to what 9:10 says. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto that righteous or salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." Hallelujah. What it's saying is, just like baptism says, "I've been born again. I want to show the whole world I'm going to follow Him. Now, I may have some bad days ahead of me or some challenges, and I may have to, you know, I may have to walk out of some things. But I'm going to do my best. I've been born again." And here's the expression of it. Listen, that's the same way in your heart. Do you know it's with your heart you believeth unto righteousness? In other words, even before the mouth is getting it said. Now, you should pray the prayer when somebody says, "Pray with me." Because what it does, it completes the circuit. It's unto that salvation. You're confessing what you're believing. But listen, if you had to say it, If you cut out a man's tongue before he was born again, if you believe that he had to confess it, you destined him to hell. What if one tribe conquers another tribe in a village, cuts out all their tongues, and a missionary comes through there and says, "Let's all pray the sinner's prayer. Are you willing? Can you?" I can sign it. No. It's with your heart. But as a result of that, you speak what you're believing. It's the same way in the baptism of going down. I'm going to go down, Pastor, and listen. The little ones, they may not understand all of this doctrine. All they need to know is, I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. This afternoon, when we walk across the field, anybody that wants to, and you say, well, I'm not planned on it, we'll find you something to wear afterwards or something. I don't know. I got a big closet. I don't know. If you want to be baptized, go across there with us and be baptized. Will I be more saved? No. Will you express a joy before the Lord? Yes. Is it an act of obedience? Yes. If you live someplace, why don't you baptize more around here? Well, we don't have any other way, really, for one. But the other thing, too, is we hope you understand always the completeness of your baptism into Christ, which is salvation. And you're lacking nothing until you get wet. Hallelujah. Well, I get wet so I can really serve God. Well, you just, if you're a carnal Christian, you'll go down a carnal Christian, you'll come up a carnal Christian. Look, listen to what it says. He says, I just threw this one in here so all of you would know this. And I think this is pretty simple for you. It sounds redundant, but nevertheless, just to give you some more ammunition. Jesus was speaking to the thief, and he said unto him, this is in Luke 23:42, he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Obviously, the thief could not be baptized. Salvation did not come on him getting wet. Jesus said, you're coming with me today because you have believed on me. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've skipped around now. I don't even know where I'm at. That's okay. Immokalee is saved. Hallelujah. Let me read a few more out of Acts. The Word of God says in Acts chapter 8, who when they had were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen on none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, a lot of times people will say, wait a minute. Jesus said in Mark, baptize them, go into all the world, baptize them. And he said, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Immediately after that, you see the disciples baptizing them in the name of Jesus. That's right. That's right. Well, which is it? It's one and the same. When he said baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, he's saying in the authority of the complete Godhead. He's saying in everything that I walk in. And Colossians 1:19 says, for it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, should all the fullness dwell. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Hallelujah. You're not going to be any more anointed if somebody years ago baptized you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or if they baptized you in the name of Jesus. I do it. If you ask me another way, I'll do it however you want it. But when you have been baptized in the name of Jesus, you have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is His kingdom. He's the bridegroom coming back. All authority has been put on Him, and you are complete in Him. The disciples weren't just filled with the Holy Ghost and went off on a rampage and says, oh, I know the Master told us to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but we're going to do it our own way. We're going to start our own doctrine. They knew that Jesus was the completeness of what was left on planet Earth. They knew that when they baptized in His name, they were baptizing it in the authority of all of heaven, because He had come, He had given His life, and there is no name above that name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So when you get in, I'll say, in the name of Jesus, if you say, I want to be baptized in Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I'll say, good. Okay, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, I baptize you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we'll get them all. So you won't be. We'll get them all. Hallelujah. You're complete in Him. You're absolutely complete in Him. Man makes a big thing with, gets all mixed up in doctrine because they make it so hard. So hard. Almost done. Hallelujah. Probably didn't cover them all, but that's good enough. Because actually, when Philip, you know, when the eunuch and Philip met on the road, he didn't teach him very long before the eunuch said, what about me? Can I be baptized? He said, yeah. Right now. You want to right now? I want to right now. So if you're here this morning and you have received Jesus Christ, well, since I'm born again and I'm going to heaven, I don't think I want to get wet. Listen, it is an act of obedience. If not today, you do need to. Why? Because it's an expression of this. Paul said that even with salvation, that we confess. And the next verse that I read you, it says, blessed is he that is not ashamed. Your expression of being baptized is saying, I am not ashamed of what I've become. I'm not ashamed. I want everybody to know it. Hallelujah. And I'm going to follow Him all the days of my life. I'm going to follow Jesus. Praise be to God. And so, if you lived out in the desert and you couldn't even get into town, you're going to be fine. But if you're walking by a river one day and you got the opportunity, when the opportunity is there, you should tell the world, I follow Jesus. I'm His. Now to the heart that says, that embarrassed me. I don't want to do that. I don't really want to share. Now there's a little bit of a problem there. Hallelujah. I don't know what order that will go. I said to any of the fathers or mothers, you know, if you want, that would like to baptize their children, that's fine. And however you want to do it, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, or just Jesus' name, it doesn't matter. It's just their expression. I mean, our expression of love to Him. When you step down in the pool, and I'm going to ask you if you'd like to say something, just as a testimony. If you say, nope, I'm too cold, then we'll go forward. If you say, yeah, I just like to say I love Jesus. Amen. I'm glad to be alive. I'm glad to know Jesus. I'm glad He put my life back together, or put my life together. Then we're going to baptize you. I'm going to put my hand at your back. I'm going to ask you to put the hanky over your nose like this, or however you want to do it. Close your nose. I hope none of you are scared of water. I will not drop you. I promise. Take the other hand and brace this hand like that. And then I'm just going to... I'm just going to say something like, on the confession, based on the confession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to take like this, and I'm going to support your back, and you're going to be real buoyant anyway. It's not going to be hard. And I just lean you back like this, like that, and bring you forward. And we're going to all say, hallelujah! How many would like to have the opportunity this morning before you leave to have a part in revival and to give? Amen? Well, I'm going to keep talking until I get more amens. Okay, I'm going to... How many would like to bless the Lord this morning with your giving? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In just a moment, we're going to pray. I'm going to ask you to prepare something to give, if the Lord is laying that on your heart. And I pray that He is. And then when you come up here and give, then you can fellowship for a little bit and then go get prepared. The men in the bathrooms, there's a couple rooms in the trailer. And then we'll wait. We'll take time. We'll wait for you. Nobody will be in a terrible rush here. And then after it's over, we're going to come back over here and serve you sandwiches and chips and drinks and all that stuff. Publix. Publix got good subs. Yeah. All right. Hallelujah. Would you stretch your faith this way and let's just pray over this offering. Father, we love You so much. We're so thankful for the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We're so thankful for everybody that's here. And we're so thankful for their commitment to want to follow You. Lord, I ask You now to bless this service that is about to follow and our fellowship. And Father, I receive from heaven Your gifts and giving today into this ministry in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, you're blessed. Would you please stand? That wasn't long, was it? That's amazing. Would you bring that forward that you have in your hand, and then would you begin to prepare yourself outside or whoever? We don't have a list, so I don't even really know how many.